Well, I'm feeling fired up this morning. I don't know about you. I mean, it is weird. You know, it's always weird when like Daniel and Emily are gone and you know, I'm the only staff person here. But some of you may remember that I was the only one on staff for a while, so it's not that weird. but I'm feeling a little like, I don't know, I'm feeling a little funky, like I may move today. So watch out, camera guy in the back. I may do something wild. Because I'm feeling a bit energized. You may or may not know, but we're continuing our series on the kingdom. This week, we're talking about the stages of the kingdom as they progress through the Old Testament until present day. And so we're still, today, we're on the promised kingdom. Still, last week, Emily preached about Abraham. This week, I'm going to preach about Jacob. I'm going to be honest. I don't know a lot about Jacob. At first, I was like, I guess I just need to go read Genesis again because I don't remember. I know something about a dream and something about he stole something from his brother. And I don't know. He had something about a ladder and 12 sons and tribes and all that. I don't know. He did something. His name got changed. I don't know. I'm not a huge Old Testament scholar like, honestly, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Emily are much more knowledgeable, truthfully, compared to me. So I'm sorry, but for real, B team this morning, B team. You know me, I'm more of a Jesus guy. Huh? Anybody? Yeah? I like the New Testament. I get down with the New Testament. That's my jam. Love Jesus, love all this stuff. That's more my speed. However, obviously, I know I am a pastor after all. I know it's important to understand the New Testament and to know, you know, how we got here. Know the story of God's people progressively moving into the story of Jesus the Christ and how that worked, how we got there. I do think it's really important. I just have a hard time studying the New Testament, or the Old Testament's really long. I don't know if you've read it. There's a lot in there. There are a lot of rules. I don't like rules. There's a lot of like really weird stuff, like super weird. So we're going to talk about one of the weird things today. But anyway, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about, continuing on this promised kingdom. Some of you may know, and this is why I'm feeling a little spunky, I think, today. I'm going to go way over here. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you may know I was at Camp Challenge last week. Yeah, we've got two Camp Challenge people here. Because they're all at camp. It's Camp Challenge season, and so literally all of our crew that is normally here, that's part of, you know, the kind of the Camp Challenge crew, they're all there this week. I think I already mentioned junior high camp starts today. It is potentially the largest camp ever at Camp Challenge. I think there's some, yeah, that's pretty great. I think there's like 160 students or something crazy like that. It's a big number. That's probably too big, but it's maybe 160 total, like campers and counselors, staff. Anyway, it's a lot of people. I don't even know where to put all those people. Anyway, this year was actually my 10th and final year directing senior high camp. So I came full circle. I've been attending senior high camp every year since 2002 when I was a freshman in high school. And so it was kind of a weird moment for me to be there. It was bittersweet. But I truly love that place, and I'm so thankful that so many of the crew that work there also come here, and I'm grateful that we have such a big part there, because I think it's a really special place. I also spoke on the last night of senior high camp, so I'm kind of double dipping, a little back to back. Not quite back to back, but pretty close together, preaching here. And it was funny because pretty much all of the high school campers there were born after 2005. Now, yeah, I did not see that coming either. I don't consider myself to be that old, but whew, when I was there, I was like, I mean, I graduated high school in 2005. So I was like, okay, this is weird. Yep. None of you were alive then, and that's fine, I guess. And there was a moment in my message on Thursday night that I said, I was referencing all the memories I have at camp. because I really feel like there's these altars at camp. Like, I can see them in my brain. I know they don't exist physically, but I can see these moments in time where I encountered God in a way that was really impactful on my life. And I was telling the campers that right in the field, this is where it was when I was standing there speaking. So I'm going to reference here, even though I know there's nothing back here. I was like, right over here in the field, you know, is where I felt like the Lord was calling me to ministry in 1999. And when I said the words 1999, the room almost died. There was a collective, like, they were like, oh my goodness, you are old. And so that was my experience this past week. Anyway, all that to say, it was a fantastic week. And because of being there all week, I was a little behind on my sermon prep for this week. So on Friday, I was talking to Pastor Daniel, just kind of making sure we were on the same page of everything that needed to happen today and me being the only one in charge. And I jokingly told him that I said, you know what, I don't have time to write a sermon, so I'm just going to have ChatGPT do it. Now, by the amount of laughter I just got, I realized that very few of you know what ChatGPT is. And so let me explain. ChatGPT is a new open AI program that you can get online, and it's basically like Google on steroids. It's AI, which I know is, you know, kind of scary, really scary, honestly, but we're not going to go into that right now. But it's just like Google, but it's more conversational than Google, so you can type in like just anything, and it'll just spit out an answer, and it spits it out somewhat conversationally. And I, you know, you could literally go there and you could say, hey, write me a 3-page paper on Jacob from the Old Testament, and it would do it. Okay, I get it. That's scary. Now you're all deer in the headlights, like, I didn't know something like that existed. Yeah, I get it. It's wild. It's scary. And I was just kidding. I'm not going to do that for my sermon. However, after I made the joke, I was just curious. I just couldn't help myself. So I went over to ChatGPT. And I said, dear ChatGPT, please summarize Jacob's life. And I was shocked. It gave me this cute little paragraph. And I'm going to read it for you today because I was blown away. So here you go. Here is the summary of Jacob's life according to ChatGPT. Jacob's life was marked by significant moments of struggle, transformation, and divine encounters. From his birth, where he wrestled with his twin brother Esau, to his deceptive actions and subsequent flight from Esau's anger, Jacob faced challenges. However, a powerful encounter with God at Bethel changed his trajectory, and he received God's promise and assurance. Through years of toil and deception while living with his uncle Laban, Jacob married Rachel and Leah and became the father of 12 sons. A profound wrestling match with God led to Jacob's transformation and a change of name to Israel. Ultimately, Jacob reconciled with Esau and returned to the land of his ancestors. Jacob's life showcases God's faithfulness, the importance of perseverance, and the power of reconciliation. That's pretty good. All right, let's pray. Just kidding. But I mean, kind of not. Like, that was super good. When I read that, I was like, wow, what am I? I mean, maybe I should just have checked. I don't think I'm going to say it any more eloquently than that. But yeah, okay, so if you didn't know, there you go. Now you know. That's kind of the quick and dirty about Jacob. He had a very interesting life and a very confusing life. His life was full of deceit and blessing. He had a whole bunch of labor. Like, he had to work for like 14 years for his wives. He had multiple wives. That's something to point out. He had a whole bunch of children. He had this super cool dream. I think Led Zeppelin wrote a song about it, and Rush. And the thing that sticks out to me, though, oddly enough, is the wrestling bit. Like, there's an odd amount of wrestling in Jacob's life, which I think is notable. You know, it talks about how Jacob tussled in his mother's... Tussled? Is tussled a word? Nope. That's not it. Tussled? Tossed? I don't know. He kind of wrestled with his brother when they were still in the womb. That's where that wrestling with Esau in the womb comes from. It says that they kind of jostled. That's the word I was looking for. Jostled about in his in their mother's womb, and then later he has this experience where he actually wrestles with God, apparently. Now, I like wrestling, so I suppose it's pretty cool. I was a wrestler back in my youth, back before any of those senior hires were born. But I've certainly never wrestled with God. Now, I've wrestled with concepts and ideas and decisions, metaphorically speaking, right? Has anybody in here physically wrestled with God? Because if so, you should be preaching and not me. No? Yeah, me neither. That would be dope, I suppose. Or maybe really painful. I don't know. It worked out for Jacob, apparently. But anyway, I want to kind of talk about that, and I really want to discuss that wrestling concept, because I think it is really, really good that Jacob, that this promised kingdom that we're a part of, it kind of all goes back to this Jacob wrestling match concept. So I'm going to read the story. It's really bizarre sounding to me. I don't know if you remember this story or if you've ever read it, but Jacob's encounter where he wrestles with God is unique, to say the least. And then we'll talk some more about it, okay? So I'm just going to read it. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Okay. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. You guys heard that story? Pretty cool. Kind of weird, though, right? So Jacob is traveling, right? And he gets all of his family across this river. And then it just says kind of plain, it doesn't even really explain it that much. It just says, and then a man starts wrestling him. Like, he's alone, and then this man shows up out of nowhere. I don't know about you, but that would weird me out. If I was alone and a man started wrestling me, I would be kind of weirded out about that. But somewhere along the line, Jacob realized that this was a divine encounter. And I think what's really neat about it is that Jacob, like, I mean, he gave it his all. He didn't fully understand, like, he didn't fully get what the actual encounter was at first. Like, he didn't know. And I feel like that's so common. Like, oftentimes we come across these trials and we don't really get it, right? We don't know why or what's going on. We don't really even realize that maybe it's some divine intervention, you know, moving us, like some friction that is potentially guiding us in a direction. Sometimes I don't think the Lord causes bad things to happen, but sometimes I think when we come up against that obstacle, it's a way for us to kind of shift and move in a different direction. There's a book that I read years ago called The Obstacle is the Way, and it's based on Stoic philosophy that says what stands in the way becomes the way. Sometimes if something gets in your way, it kind of helps you move a different direction. And I think this is what Jacob encountered. He didn't know what was going on, but he realized, man, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm not giving up. I'm going all in, and I'm going to win. Somehow he's wrestling with God or an angel or something, and he's like, he is going after it. And it's bizarre to read this story because who knows, you know, I always think, man, what were the original readers thinking when they heard this? I mean, this story is literally like from 4,000 years ago. I mean, our minds can't even fathom what readers 4,000 years ago, or more or less hearers, most people were illiterate 4,000 years ago, so it was more or less an oral story, what they heard when they heard about this wrestling story with God, that Jacob wrestled with God. But I think it's so good that because Jacob struggled and he wouldn't give up, that the angel or God blesses him and gives him a new name. He gives him the name Israel as one who struggles with God. That's what Israel means. And that is the big point that I want to take away from Jacob's story. That is the big idea that I think is everything when we look back to this promised kingdom, that the people of Israel are people who wrestle with God. We are a people of Israel. And one of the points that I think is really important to also draw on, that's a bit of a side note, I think, is oftentimes we think that God's blessing like is to Israel, and we think of a country or a people group, right? Like the kingdom of Israel, right? Whether it be, you know, the place that we know as Israel today or whatever. It's oftentimes we think, oh, God blessed Israel. And so, you know, but we forget that Israel is a person. And Israel was a descendant of Abraham. Abraham was just his grandpa. And that same promise that was given to Israel, or to Abraham, that he would be a blessing to many nations, and that the whole world will be blessed by him, that is the promise that is given to Israel, to Jacob as well. That same promise is what we are living today, that Jesus promised us. That if we wrestle with God, if we struggle with knowing who God is and who he's calling to be, we will not only find him, but we will be a blessing to all nations. The other thing that I think is really important is that struggle transcends time. So not only is that promise back then, but it is here for us. Not only is that promise to Israel, the person, but it is to all people. You see, Jesus explains to us that not only are the Hebrew people in favor with God, but it is to all people. It's a struggle. The promised kingdom is work. It's a lifelong wrestling match. We are called to be a people of Israel, a people who struggle with God. And I don't think Jacob got any good answers this day. And I think that's really important too. I don't, you know, this angel or God, whoever this is, didn't even tell him his name. See, struggling with God doesn't like solve all of our problems, or it doesn't answer all of our questions. But the struggle is what draws us closer. It's what helps us get a little bit better understanding of who God is and who he's calling us to be. It gives us direction. Jacob felt like he had direction after this struggle. He was able to mark that altar, like what I talked about that I saw at camp this past week. He was able to set that place that he called Peniel, saying, it's because I saw God face to face and my life was spared. He had that altar and said, I struggled with God, and I know that God is calling me to do more. Didn't fix his problems. If you read on about Jacob's story, you know there's a lot going on after this. Didn't solve everything, didn't fix everything, but the struggle is what connects us to the divine. The struggle is what helps us know where we are headed and what God is calling us to. The lifelong struggle is working towards fulfilling the promise of Abraham to be a blessing to all nations, working towards figuring out what it even means to bless everyone, working to struggle to find out what it even means to know what we truly believe about who God is. The struggle we are called
We are called as descendants of Israel to struggle with God, to wrestle, to seek more, to work with all our might so that we might know who God is and who he's calling us to be. That's the promised kingdom. That is my takeaway from Jacob. And I hope, my hope and my prayer is that we as a community can struggle together and find out more about what we're called to. Would you pray with me? God, we're so grateful for this place. We're so thankful for the struggle that we see from Jacob, from Israel, that we are a people of Jacob. We are descendants that are called to know you more, that are called to seek you more. We're so grateful that you have called us. We're so grateful that you long for us to be your people. We're so grateful that you have given us the scriptures that we can hear these stories from times past. God, continue to speak to us as we worship this morning, and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.